John Landecker and Ashley Byan. Hey, Byan, how are you?
I'm good, Landecker. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, and I got to tell you right now, young lady, I got a few things lined up here. Pro pancake.
Maybe
oh, able to take that waffly thing you got down. Yeah.
I got stuck in on the history side of the waffle, if I'm going to be honest.
Did you see that?
Here.
Yeah.
I learned a lot.
First of all, let me say, just in the interest of humanity in general, the waffle wants to build walls between us. Whereas the pancake accepts one and all on an even level. But no, the waffle, little cubes of isolation. That's what it's based on.
But it keeps the sugar right where you need it. It's got to be in your mouth and not on the plate.
You know, I've never complained about syrup and pancakes in my life. In fact, I had some today. Yeah.
Really? Pancake guy, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're easy to make. They don't require...
Well, have you ever been to a Waffle House?
Yes, I've been to a Waffle House.
Incredible. It's God's gift to man. You can have a waffle, eggs, bacon, sausage, hash browns, all for like $6. It's incredible.
Now, do they call them pancake houses? They don't, do they?
There are pancake houses around, but a Waffle House is the brand.
Yeah, but I mean, what do they usually call a pancake? House of Pancakes.
Yes, the House of Pancakes,
House of Pancakes, yeah.
That's it.
But
I have to admit, both are delicious, but I will say there are things that just make the waffle a little bit better, in my humble opinion.
All righty, then.
Shall we get to it?
Yeah, of course.
Well, here's what I got. I do think that the pancakes are the participation trophies of the breakfast table because, let's face it, they are a staple. I feel like they are more commonly placed at a, you know, home-cooked bed and breakfast, or if something's laying around your house, most often it's the pancake that you're going to make rather than the waffle because the waffle does require a couple more items to make this thing. But waffles are a masterpiece of culinary engineering, okay? And there's a lot of history behind the waffle, so buckle up. We're going to start off with some history. Over 2,500 years ago, ancient Greek cooks made... Essentially, it was a pancake, I guess you can call that. But what they did is they put batter between two hot metal plates with a long wooden handle and held them over open fire until it made this doughy goodness. So I would say that's probably the start of the pancake before the pancake was the pancake. Anyway, around 800 years ago in medieval Europe, a blacksmith had a clever idea and was like, what if you carved a honeycomb pattern into those metal plates? When the batter was pressed inside, it baked into those little crisp boxes. And here we are, the waffle. It was called a waffle back then, too, but it was W-A-F-E-L, which actually comes from the old word meaning honeycomb. Mm. I don't know why we added another F there. I'm sure that's just something in the English language where we just kind of took over and thought it needed another F. I don't know. But now the butter and the honey, it all has a place to sit without sliding off. Now, this is where it got interesting for me. And I'm sure you probably stumbled around this area as well. In 1789, Thomas Jefferson, one of our founding fathers,
indeed,
went to France and fell in love with the waffle iron. Then he bought one, brought it back to America, and hosted wild waffle parties that he liked to call waffle frolics, where guests got to eat hot waffles right off the fire. I read this and immediately was like, well, now I'm getting sucked into a rabbit hole. So I dug into these waffle parties, and they were basically elaborate multi-course evening parties or late night light suppers. And they served fresh baked waffles as the centerpiece, and guests would play parlor games, socialize, and eat endless waffles topped with all of the fixings, because obviously Thomas Jefferson had access to all those. Now, despite popular belief, he didn't invent these waffle parties, I suppose. This was kind of a thing that kind of dates back all the way to the mid-1700s, because there are famous letters, one being from a Yale student named William Livingston, the 1744 letter. He describes these lavish waffle frolics in New York. I think that's so wild to me, because what a fun thing that existed that we just kind of let fall to the wayside. You know what I mean? What are we doing?
I think you've hit on something.
That's incredible.
A competitor to the Waffle House. We should open up a chain of Waffle Frolics. Come to Waffle Frolics.
I think that would be a hit. Yeah. Waffle Houses are a hit. Imagine a Waffle Frolic where it's just a little bit more upscale. My God, we have a gold mine here.
Yeah, and you got servers and suggestive outfits, and it's just great.
It just becomes a brothel, but with waffles instead of strippers.
It's the Waffle Brothel.
Yeah, the Waffle Brothel. Well, anyway, so now here we are, a little bit more modern times, the invention of the toaster waffle, which everyone knows and loves.
Oh, yeah.
This happened in 1953. It was invented by three brothers from California. Basically, they figured out a way to pre-bake waffles, freeze them, and then sell them in grocery stores. Now, they used to be called Froffles, frozen waffle, which makes way more sense, but apparently, and I might be alone here, but kids back in the 1950s were calling them Eggos because to them it tasted like fresh eggs. Now,
well, they had that campaign, Lego My Eggo.
No, I know, but I don't think waffles or pancakes taste like fresh eggs, so I don't know how that happened. But hey, it stuck because Eggos are everywhere.
Yeah.
And a fun little fact for you, the ice cream cone, like the waffle cone, was invented at a World's Fair in 1904 when an ice cream vendor ran out of the bowls. And nearby was a waffle baker, and he decided, let's roll these up and make them into thin waffle cone-shaped things. And now it changed the game for ice cream forever. So now that's just a history. And I'll get into the specifics of why I think the waffle is better. Obviously, the waffle structure is better. It's got that 3D containment system. It isolates all of the melted butter and the syrup and the fruit and whatever toppings you have, and it just holds it all in one contained package rather than you trying to make sure you have your fork properly stabbed through whatever item it is you're trying to eat, and then you got to dip your pancake into soggy grossness of the syrup. It's just more contained. It's a little bit structurally. It's got a backbone.
You know, you can make a pancake in a pan, but you got to get a waffle iron to make a waffle.
This is true, but you could be inventive and you can make your own waffle iron if you have the tools to do so.
Waffle iron? What do you think I am, a blacksmith? Please.
Hey, it could be a skill you pick up in order to enjoy this breakfast goodness.
We're going to take a brief break here in tonight's food fight and return on 720 WGN. And Ashley! And we're doing waffles versus pancakes. I just want to say, before we get to tonight's musical interlude, I'm the last person on radio to use the word interlude. Just thought I'd throw that in there. pancakes date back thousands of years. Archaeological evidence suggests people were cooking simple batter cakes on hot stoves as far back as the Stone Age. Ancient Greeks, Romans, they made them, yes. Early waffles developed much later in medieval Europe, around the 12th and the 13th centuries. That's when the blacksmiths, hey, John, why don't you make your own waffle iron? Blacksmiths created hinged iron plates that would cook batter over an open fire. These irons often had a decorative pattern. Yeah, like I'm going to be doing what the medieval European blacksmith is doing.
I feel like that is a retired man task. That's a thing that you hear retired people just deciding they're going to learn how to do.
I've never heard that in my life.
I hear archery a lot. I hear honestly flying planes, which I think, what the heck?
How'd you even cool. Hear?
And then I mean, where is the blacksmith route? That seems like one that seems very common.
Well,
common.
You get into the blacksmith's route, you can make a lot more than waffle iron. You can make Right. You can make King Arthur's sword.
A
chastity.
Oh, yeah. I've been to the Renaissance Fair. I get sucked in that side of the Renaissance Fair.
All right, now we're
it's
at
cool.
We're at the musical interlude where we subject both items in the food fight to a particular tune, and we start with the pancake, I believe. Hello, pancake. Come on, pancake. Yeah, that's another thing. You never hear the VFW have a waffle breakfast. They have pancake breakfast.
They should.
They
do whatever they want, the VFW.
All right, here we go.
If they want.
And now a musical salute to the waffle.
Who would have thought that the techno world would be big on the breakfast tunes?
I'll tell you, they're got it firing on all barrels. All right.
You had that techno toddler guy on. Were any of those his?
No. That were not. I don't know who they are. It's impossible for me to figure this out on YouTube or any of the other social media platforms that have. Because they list all these things. I mean, you can't tell the individual from the serial number almost. You know, it's like, make it easy for crying out loud. So, Jack, where do you, I know where you are, but I mean.
I'm here.
Jack, where are you? What are the final totals tonight?
We got a 75%er for waffles.
Woo!
No kidding.
Yeah, I'm on Team Waffle. If you're asking where I was.
Yeah, you know why I think that? I think pancakes are everywhere. You know what I mean? It doesn't take much of effort to make a pancake at all. But a waffle, now that's a little bit different. You got to have the iron. You got to cook it to the right consistency. I used to make waffles. I used to make pancakes for my kids where I would spell out their names.
Oh, yeah.
They loved it. Yep. Yeah.
I'd like one if you want to bring some in. I'd like a Jack one.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe next time I come in, I'll whip up a batter and we'll just go back there. And
Jack, Ashley, Eli, John, there you go. Yes,
there you go. So,
maybe from the newsroom.
What do we care to discuss next week? We got like 4 minutes to figure it out. It's not like we're up against the wall.
We got it. I am, I turn to the National Day calendar, and we got a couple of good things. So,
all right.
First things first, National Watermelon Day is next Monday.
Mm.
So that's a good start, but it's also national.
What would go opposite of watermelon?
I know, because watermelon is basically just water.
Yeah, but I mean, cantaloupe? The same
thing. Yeah, but I feel like if you're going to do cantaloupe, you might as well just do honeydew or something.
Yeah, I mean, watermelon's in a class by itself, I think.
It's its own thing. But here's the other thing. National Sandwich Month, and for some reason, Reuben jumped into my head, and then Cuban jumped into my head because they rhyme. But I don't think they're the same.
No, I would think not.
What I Googled.
But Reuben, I'm not quite sure. I don't want to say what ethnicity it originates from because I don't want to insult anybody until I know for sure. But I don't think Reuben's and what was the other one?
Cuban,
no.
I looked it up. One's corned beef. One is roasted pork. A Reuben is associated typically with like a Jewish deli.
Yes.
I feel like.
Yeah.
So now, you could do something with that, but we also had a texture that suggested we stick with the breakfast theme, and they said we should do sausage links versus bacon, I believe. I'm going to pull it up. Bacon. Yeah, bacon versus sausage links.
Mm.
We could do a breakfast, what do you call it? Like a breakfast battle, per se, the next like 3 rounds. We've been talking about that for a while.
A breakfast battle, but what? Just 2 items at a time, though.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? Yeah. We also had that one idea offline, off air. It was the 3-way battle, the chip battle. I don't remember what we were saying, but.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is always the hardest part. Who'd have thought? Who'd have thought the research, searching for the songs, digging deeper into the history and the culture of these foods?
What do you eat for breakfast?
What do you eat for breakfast? Age old question. Mm-hmm. What's the opposite of a potato pancake?
What's the opposite of a potato pancake?
Is that a dumpling or?
Well,
no,
you know, that's also associated with Jewish cuisine to a certain extent when you call it a latke.
Oh, yeah. But are those the same? Or are those, that's just the name of the thing?
I don't know if they're exactly the same, but they're real close.
They're really good.
With applesauce and sour cream and stuff like that, you know?
Well, what if you did like a pork chop and applesauce versus a latke and applesauce? It's not necessarily the same, but you know what I'm getting at? But do you get what I'm getting at? The addition of the applesauce is the tie-in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think my dad's crazy when he gets pork chops and applesauce.
Oh, no, that's fantastic. Are you kidding me? Pork chops and applesauce, that's my... that's a go-to.
But now a potato pancake and applesauce, I'm in.
Okay, there we go. Potato pancake and applesauce worth the word... Pork chop and applesauce. I mean, it's sort of like cross-breeding, if you will.
You never know where you're going to get on the food fight.
Yeah. All right. So that's it. Are you? Well, obviously, you're, which one are you now?
I'm pancake, potato pancake, you're pork chop.
With applesauce.
With applesauce, yeah. Okay. Boom. Lock it in.
All right, kiddo. always fun.